When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Indeed, it's gonna be a lovely day. A very lovely day. That's Bill Withers. Remember him? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for joining us. It is Tuesday, May the 11th, and we have a lot lined up for you. In a few minutes, Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to be here, and we're going to talk about the silver linings in the April jobs report. You know, the one that drastically missed the mark on new jobs by a lot? Well, Sean thinks there's some good news to find in there, so we're going to find out what it is. Stay tuned. And by the way, are you ready for long lines at the gas pump and higher prices as well? Because that's what may be in store. Those of you old enough to remember when Jimmy Carter was president, it helped bring down his presidency when we had gas shortages and long lines at the gas pumps. But a major pipeline CEO says, get ready for that again. So we are going to talk about it, and we're going to get some thoughts about it from the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, a little later in the show. And Democrats seem willing to go to the mat to wrest the voting control of the states and bring it up to the federal government. We are going to take a look at all of that. It is a huge issue. Huge. And in our ultimate top 10, we've been doing presidents recently, so we're going to do the top 10 shortest presidents. Shortest presidents. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, you want the very best haircut you can get. You want to look as good as you can, and you want to do it at a very good price. There is no better place than Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin. It's just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza. You got to call for your appointment first. Easy to do. Just dial 727-733-3773. By the way, they're open Tuesday through Saturday. And by the way, also, don't forget, I hope you're listening to Good Morning Clearwater every morning from 8 to 10 a.m. just before our show. They warm me up. They precede my show. It's like the act that, you know, preceded the Beatles, right? No, they're a great, great program unto themselves. 8 to 10 a.m., Paul and Tracy Allen. Good morning, Clearwater. All right. So, I don't know where to start. I'll tell you what I am very worried about, just as an individual. I am worried that all of a sudden everything is going to crash. I am worried about the stock market crashing. I am worried about inflation. I'm worried about all of a sudden the chickens come home to roost on all this money that we are borrowing. I'm worried about the oil. We got this issue that the CEO of this pipeline says we may be lining up our cars. I don't think you're old enough to I'm sure you're not old enough, Ed, to remember. Do you remember Jimmy Carter when he was president? I guess you would. Anyway, if you drove a car during his presidency, the chances were very high that you waited in long lines to get gasoline. They helped bring down his presidency.
That was before me.
Yeah, okay.
When I started driving, gas was 50 cents a gallon.
Was it really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so that was 1979.
Well, that's
close to 80.
Okay, well, he was president then.
Yeah, it was the tail end of it, because then Reagan took over in 80.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But you saw the lines. You remember the lines of people that were waiting for gasoline. That was a big deal in his presidency.
Mm.
Anyway.
But that was early, though, wasn't it?
Cause yeah.
People were saying on Facebook that it was 1973 when it hit.
Hmm. It brought down Jimmy Carter because he started limiting the supply of gasoline because he was worried we didn't have enough. So that ended up with the long lines. Anyway, it became a nightmare. And despite plans to reopen a major U.S. fuel pipeline later this week, following that cyber attack, I guess it came from a bunch of Eastern Europeans, maybe Russians.
Yeah, they're saying it was based in Russia, but they're not going to say it was Russians.
Oh, really? Aha. Okay. Well, you know, we got to suspect Putin and the gang, even though it might not be, because there's a lot of these, what do you call it, rogue groups that are there. By the way, they're making a lot of movies these days on Eastern European bad guys.
And these people want money, so these are not the ones that just shut it down just to inconvenience us or to let us know that they knew how to do it. They want money.
Yeah, right. You're right. Well, at least they're honest about it. I guess they're called Dark Side.
Yes. That's the name of the group.
That would be the name of a movie.
They've done it before to other things.
Yeah.
And they're probably just hiding in Russia because this way the U.S. government can't touch them.
Yeah. You and I talked about the fact that how the heck do they screw everything up by a computer? Are they able to push buttons and turn off valves?
Are you kidding me?
I just don't know how that works.
That's exactly how they do it.
Really?
Yes.
They can literally...
Everything is computerized now, Paul. Everything.
Wow.
Turning valves on, turning valves off. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We can really be compromised, can't we?
Yes, absolutely.
That's very scary.
God forbid they get a hold of the electrical grid. We're finished.
Yeah, this is just a taste of it. And, you know, oil, everything starts with oil.
Yeah.
We deliver every product in a truck somewhere, right? And fuel for trains, and fuel for planes, and fuel for ships, and it's all based with oil. So it's going to raise the price of everything. And so this guy is warning about this shortage. This is Colonial Pipeline, and he said they're not going to resume shipments of oil and gas until the ransomware has been removed. So they're waiting for, and it may be a while, he said.
And if I'm not mistaken, this is not actually oil that was shut down. It's the finished product of gasoline and jet fuel.
Okay, and you may be right about that. But they went after pipelines, you know, to shut down this Dark Side group. So it's a scary scenario. Says here that the Department of Justice is investigating this. God spare us. I wonder how long it'll take. Are they investigating it just as heavily as they're investigating Hunter Biden? Because if that's the case, we'll never find out what happened. And they say the investigation is ongoing due to the involvement of ransomware, labeled the sophistication of the tools very high. So this is a high class.
And if it's,
this is a high-class terrorist group.
Yeah, if it's based anywhere
Good
near
God.
The border, Kamala Harris will never find it.
Oh, God, no. No, she's never going to go to the border. You and I will visit the border before she will.
She didn't even send him a postcard for crying out loud.
I know it. I know it. Oh, this is so crazy. Well, you know, we're going to find out the value of our pipelines. We're going to find out the value of fracking. We're going to find out the value of petroleum. You know how we're these nuts that want to get rid of everything right away because we got to go green, right? Well, you're going to find out just how bad an idea that can be when you don't have what is going to keep our country running. Anyway, we are going to take our break. And when we come back, Sean Higgins is going to talk with us about the silver lining of the April jobs report.
No one could look as good as you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to The Growth Stock Show. Fund manager Greg Kilpak talks about how your money grows fast when you invest in growth stocks and how you'll never get that kind of return from a mutual fund. Learn why President Biden will continue to pass as many multi-trillion dollar stimulus bills as he can. Next time on The Growth Stock Show. The Growth Stock Show is hosted by Greg Kilpak on Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday, Freedom Works. Thank you very much for being with us. Delighted to have an old buddy back, Sean Higgins. He is a research fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. And you know, we just had this report of jobs, new jobs in April, and it was kind of a shock, a punch to the gut. They were expecting close to a million. They got 266,000. And the unemployment rate, a little changed, around 6%, 6.1%. Sean, you see a silver lining in this. What is going on? What's the good news out of this?
The good news is that people are getting better jobs. Essentially, what we had is a lot of people who were working sort of make-work jobs as a consequence of the COVID-19 crisis were transitioning into better ones. I mean, there were sharp declines in people working part-time instead going to full-time. You know, employers were not cutting back hours. There was actually an increase in wages. In the areas where there were declines was temporary help services and couriers and messengers. That was one of the largest areas. In other words, you know, people who were doing things like, you know, DoorDash and Uber Eats and stuff to make money, because they had to during the COVID crisis, have stopped doing that and gone on to other things.
Oh, I see.
Now and that's part of the reason why the number is basically static. It did marginally, you know, we're up 0.1% in terms of unemployment, but the quality of the jobs is markedly better. Now, obviously, yeah, I mean, you'd always want the number to be higher than it absolutely is. But once you actually start looking at the data underlying that basic point, people are getting better jobs than they had been previously. All these people who were stuck at home and had to do things, you know, to get additional money to wait out this crisis are now actually transitioning to real, regular, more traditional jobs. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, it would seem to be. But there's also this talk about because the federal government is kicking in an additional, what, $300 a week in unemployment benefits. It's keeping a lot of people from seeking work. And that this number that we see for April is kind of a result of it. Of course, we have to wait. But if we have, Sean, for the next 2 months, these kinds of low job numbers, does this indicate that maybe there's something going on here that's not good? Or do you think we're going to bust out with great numbers, let's say, for the month of May?
Well, yeah. I mean, you bring up a good point, because the continuing assistance that some people are getting is creating a drag on the numbers. I mean, what I was referring to is basically the people who were working are transitioning to better jobs.
Yes.
People who had decided that it made more sense for them, and it may be simply a matter of simple pragmatics. I mean, if you can make more money as just from, you know, the government checks than you could otherwise, you know, people are pragmatic, rational actors, and, you know, economics
right.
speak. So that's what they'll do. And so, yeah, continuing that is creating a drag, and that's part of the reason why the numbers weren't higher and better. It was because people who weren't bothering to work at all are still not working. What we saw for the most part was a churn in the nature of the work. In other words, people were transitioning from one type of job to another, and those were the people who were already working. They're trying to find jobs, And so that's sort of the reason why the numbers were the way they were.
Okay. So what do you think? There are certain states that are actually going to try to stop the unemployment monies that are coming from the federal government. I think one of the, like North Dakota, they want to incentivize people to go back to work. I think some other red states may follow. I don't know. But we've got to get... People, I don't know that people are that afraid of going back to work. They've become somewhat used to staying home. And then when you get the extra money, you start worrying about kind of getting us back on our feet. I mean, is this going to be something, if the federal government is, you know, once a program starts, it's very hard to stop it.
Right, yes.
Do you think that this $300 perk is going to continue? Do you think the federal government will finally stop it? What's your thought?
I hope it doesn't, because I don't think it is good for the points you're raising. I mean, it is a sort of drag on the economy. But then, as you say, I mean, once these things are in place, inertia is the most powerful force in government. I mean, you know, just the concept of let's just keep on doing it the way we've been doing it, you know, is always the path of least resistance, and that's why once you sort of establish these things, they just tend to live forever. But literally, the most important thing we can do to get the economy back on track is just literally let people get back to work. I mean, the number of people vaccinated is rising, continually. We're getting to the point, where we ought to be able to, and we really should be, transitioning to trying to get back to as normal as things were prior to this outbreak. That's the best and most important thing we can do to revive the economy. I mean, the employers are saying, look, we're struggling to find people, to fill jobs, and their wages are going up as a consequence. You know, some of the bigger employers are saying, they'll raise wages even further. I mean, the economy can recover to a large extent on its own if it's just allowed to do it.
You know, I've always maintained, and we talk about it on the show all the time, that the worst thing you can do is to get the government involved in the private sector, because it's going to raise the cost of products and generally make the product even less reliable than it was. And you can name anything, any industry, I think, where that rule holds true. So here we are intervening, directly in the job market. It's hurting small businesses. It's hurting the hospitality industry. It's probably going to result in higher costs when you go to a fast food restaurant or even a regular restaurant, because these employers will be forced to raise the rates to get the people that they need to come in and work for them. So inflation is another issue. Will we ever learn that involving the federal government in the private sector 9 times out of 10 is not a good idea?
Well, the problem is a lot of people just don't have a very, very long memories. I mean, you're talking, as I was listening to you previously, before the break, about what was happening in the Jimmy Carter years.
Oh yes,
that's a little bit before my time, not that much before it, but the point you're making is solid. I mean, there are people who just don't remember. We had price controls and things back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you talked about, inflation coming as a consequence of the other costs that are being put on businesses. You're absolutely right about that. The problem is, for the last decade and a half, maybe even longer, we've had incredibly low inflation. People don't remember what it's like to have, prices continually creep upwards on them. And so they don't sort of factor that into their thinking. And unfortunately, that sort of filters into Congress and the other areas. So, when they say history happens, history repeats itself, it's not so much because it does it exactly so, but because people simply forget what happened.
Yes, indeed.
And do the same thing.
Yeah, you're right. We don't remember. We forget our past, and we're doomed to repeat what happened. So, I don't know. It seems like we're on a spending spree, right? In Washington, we're dropping. I mean, the word trillion has never been, the word trillion, 25, 30 years ago, it was never used because there wasn't any reason to use the word. Now we're using it all the time. So that should give us an indication of what's going on. And of course, the federal government has lost its way. They're no longer mimicking what our founding fathers thought. of what its responsibilities are. We are so far past that. It's like we're forgetting everything.
That's just part of the nature of politics and government and human nature, unfortunately. I mean, every new generation comes along and they don't necessarily know what happened before them. I mean, what was the line by, I think it was Lenin or something like that, let's elect a new people. I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, you sort of, but if you replace the population with people who weren't around when things happened previously, they're not going to know, or even if they sort of heard about it in history class, they're not necessarily going to understand. And that's the problem. I mean, there was a case a couple of years ago I remember reading where some congresswoman was, talking about the issue at the moment was price controls for oil. And this congresswoman said, well, I looked it up and we had price controls for oil in the 70s. And so if we can do that then, why can't we do it now? And you're just sitting there thinking,
yes.
We don't understand what happened as a consequence of that.
Exactly. Exactly. We're talking with Sean Higgins, research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, who sees the silver lining. And otherwise, a rather dismal jobs report for the month of April, 266,000 non-farm payroll jobs created in April. The unemployment rate did not necessarily drop. Maybe it dropped a little bit. But he's talking about the fact that a lot of people that were in the job market transitioned to better jobs, which is a good thing. There's not negative. Go ahead. There's not always negative news in these things.
One of the interesting things about the Labor Department is when it puts out these numbers every month, it actually releases six different calculations. And they're literally U1 through U3, unemployment 1 through unemployment 6, six different numbers. The one that's the top line, that's the one that's in the press release and is in all the news stories, is U3, which is accounts people who are out of work but actively looking for work. And it discounts people who would be looking for work if they thought there were jobs out there, but they're just staying at home. And there's been a long question as to why that is the number that's used as a part of all the other calculations, which include people who would be working if they thought there were jobs out there but aren't. And there's no actual explanation for why they use this particular number. It's just always been the thing that they've done. They've basically forgotten why this is the one. But there's a bunch of other calculations that I think are better indicators of where the economy is and where the jobs market is that the Labor Department could be putting out. And I think that's part of the issue here, is that the particular calculation, the calculus that they're using, doesn't necessarily reflect, I think, the issues that we're having right now in terms of people finding jobs and opportunities being filled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you are to project the next several months, do you think we're going to see big numbers, people definitely returning to the labor market, noticeably so, or do you think it's going to be rather stagnant?
I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle. I think we're going to see an increase as more and more restrictions are released, eased, and more people are vaccinated, and we get closer and closer to actual herd immunity, and we can put all the stuff behind us. Unfortunately, there's probably not going to be a big moment where it's going to explode forward. I'd like for it to do that, and I'd like to be proven wrong on that point. My skepticism on that just doesn't see that happening.
Indeed. Well, Sean, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. I thank you so very much. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Gosh, I want to see everybody back to work and maybe get the heck all of this stuff put behind us. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
All right. Sean Higgins, Competitive Enterprise Institute. We are going to take our break. And when we come back, you ready for long lines at the gas pump? Higher gas prices? That may be in store for us. We're going to get some thoughts about it from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Tuesday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. And as always, delighted to have our buddy Andrew, the Master Barber, joining us. I was just reading, Andrew, that Governor DeSantis here in Florida is going to be holding a town hall with Newsmax. That's one of the newer conservative networks. Do you ever watch Newsmax?
Yes, I do.
Do you like it?
It's all right. I mean, it's totally to the right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like a little bit, you know, just so I can get the whole gust of what's going on.
Yeah. Well, they're going to, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, Sean Spicer and Governor Ron DeSantis will be there. I guess the co-anchor Lindsay Keith or somebody will be hosting it. It's going to be held at the Villages over there on, near Orlando, you know, where all of those retired conservatives, that's where they go to die. Isn't that right, Andrew?
This is what they tell me. They go to die, or they got the highest STD rate in the country. One of the two.
I think I've heard that. In other words, they're not quite, some of them are not quite ready to die yet, apparently. So I've promoted the fact that you and I might talk a little bit about this pipeline and the possibility that we might. You're old enough to remember when Jimmy Carter was president. There were those long lines because he decided to ration gas.
I made a fortune. My dad had a gas station. I was filling up my 6-gallon cans and selling it to my buddies for twice the price.
Really?
It was prosperous in those days.
You were very.
My father taught me.
You were very entrepreneurial, taking advantage of a crisis.
Well, let me tell you about this pipeline deal, Paul. Didn't Mr. Biden sit there and say, I'm going to shut down all these pipelines, we're going to get rid of gas and fossil fuels?
There you go.
I'm saying that.
Exactly. It was one of the first things he did.
Okay, now.
So shut down that pipeline.
Let me ask you this one. Right away, the Russians. Here we go, Russian crap again. Forget all the Democrats know is Russia, Russia, Russia. Let me tell you something. Any engineer to design that pipeline that does not have a manual backup to all these pumping stations is a moron. There's no freaking way that pipeline does not have manual on and offs, okay?
I would think you're right. I mean, if you can turn a valve with a computer, we're all in trouble.
Well, this is another setup. It's more scaremongering. You understand? Now the people, the gas shortage, the chlorine shortage. You know what they got a shortage of? They got a shortage of brains in Washington. That's what they got a shortage of, Paul.
We've known that for a long time. I mean, okay, it's on display.
What's going on? Okay, now all of a sudden you see in states coming up, oh, we want a recount. Now Michigan, we want a recount, forensic recount. I wonder why, Paul. People are fed up.
Mm-hmm.
Fed up with this crap. They're fed up with the fear mongering.
Yeah. So, we've got this thing with voter rights and federal control, the possible control of the federal government over what the states used to have on control of how they run elections. And we've got Mitch McConnell, who's the Senate minority leader now, Republican, and then Democrat Chuck Schumer, the majority leader. They are going to attend a Senate Rules Committee markup today on the Senate 1 elections bill, which would basically take control of the rules of voting out of the hands of the state governments and put it in the hands of the feds. I cannot think of a worse and more unconstitutional thing to do. I want to get your thought on that.
Paul, yeah. You know, they're sitting here. It's very simple. You're a citizen, you vote. Period. There's no month-long voting by mail. If you want to vote by mail, you make sure you're identified, just like we do here in Florida, and you have so many days. I don't know why they're concentrating on voting. They need to concentrate on the oil in this country, okay? And the wars that are going, look at the Middle East going up like crazy, right? When Trump was president, there was no wars, there was nothing. Gas prices were $1.70 a gallon. The economy was great. These morons took over. They're out to destroy the country. And I'm still wet to hear somebody say how good Biden is doing.
Yeah.
I see morons say he's at a 69% approval rating. Are you out of your mind?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did have a poll here that I saw. And overall, let me find it for you. Where is it here? Okay, here it is. A new national poll says most Americans approve of Biden's job performance. This is the APNORC survey, AP being like the Associated Press, I guess. But his numbers are mixed on the border and on gun control. He stands at 63% approval and 36% disapproval overall. Poll conducted April 29 through May 3. That compares to a 42% approval in an average of the most recent survey. So this one is way above the average. It says here he's got a 71% approval on the coronavirus pandemic.
They're so full of crap, that poll. What'd they do? They called Black Lives Matters or what?
I know. That does seem
so full of crap. The guy's lucky if he's got a 12% approval rate, Paul. I haven't been out to hear anybody tell me what a great job he's done. Have you?
No. I don't know what they can even.
I bet you people are standing in line to get rid of the whole Congress we got right now. Believe me.
Yeah.
What's going on in this country? Disgusting. They're fear mongering. They're causing the people to have all this chaos. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Shortage on chlorine, shortage on gas, a hamburger, $5 a pound, lumber up 232%. Are you people fools? This is what you wanted?
Yeah, inflation is coming. It's here. And
coming. What do you mean coming?
I mean, it's here. I agree.
It's got nowhere to go but higher.
Yeah, and it scares me about, like, anybody that's got a lot of money in the stock market. I'm thinking at some point the stock market is going to take a note of what's going on here all of a sudden and start a deep dive. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, let me tell you what. I remember 2008. You remember the big crash, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember everybody losing their houses? Guess what, Paul? It's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Thinking of selling everything right now when it's so high and go live in an apartment for a couple of years.
Andrew, where do you put all your money? Is it under a mattress?
I can't tell you, Paul. I only got maps. Somebody's going to find these maps one day. That's the only way they're going to find it. I can tell you this, Paul. This country is in dire distress, and people have got to see it. And we never had this problem with Trump. Never. Mm-hmm. In 4 years. And anybody can tell me again, they're full of crap. Prove it to me.
So you think people are going to make a turn to the right next year in the November elections?
Well, they got no choice. However, I don't think this is going to go on until the elections.
What will happen between now and then?
I think you're going to see riots in the streets, but it's not going to be Black Lives Matters and Antifa.
Mm-hmm. Based on kind of...
I think you're going to see the American people, buddy. We've had enough.
Mm-hmm. Sort of economic riots or just overall the Washington is no good kind of riots or what?
That's it. Washington is no good kind of riots. Okay. People are fed up.
Yeah.
Okay? Look at that. Look at the moron Biden. Oh, the unemployment benefits we're giving has nothing to do with people going back to work.
Yeah.
How stupid are you?
And but you forget that he said that you're not allowed to be taking this money if you can go back to work. Let me see where he said that notable quote.
I saw that.
I mean, what the heck? Yeah, right.
Well, this guy, look,
tell me.
He's a nutcase, and his whole administration is a nutcase. They all need to go, and they need to go now.
Yeah.
They need to go now. The American people better unite on this one and get rid of these I almost said the word, but I can't on the radio.
Here's what I think. They go to Biden and also Kamala. I said, look, we want you to take a little R&R somewhere around the southern border. And we send them down there just to kind of sit there and observe what is going on. Maybe they'll get some religion while they're down there and understand what's going on. Kamala Harris couldn't find her way down to the border with both hands and a map, you know?
Oh, she's hiding. Look at finally, one athlete answered a perfect question the other day. Did you see the jockey that won the Kentucky Derby?
Tell us.
He got invited to the White House.
Do you know what
his answer was?
What?
His answer was, if I wanted to see a horse's ass, I would have came in second. Okay?
That's pretty good.
That's right on the money.
Unfortunately, that's another issue, by the way. They doped up the winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, Paul, you know why?
Why?
Because the jockey said that about Biden. That's why.
Oh, maybe.
Okay, let me tell you something. It's a horse on steroids. Their asses are all on steroids. I'll tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're mess up on steroids. Believe me, because they're messing up big time.
Do you think any of the politicians in Washington are on something? I think they're on something, too, aren't they? For sure, Biden's got to keep awake, so they got to give him something.
Paul, it's like I tell everybody. There's 535 of them and 330 million of us.
Yeah.
We're going to put up with their crap, 535, and we're going to let them tell us what to do. And I'm so sick of hearing Russia, 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 Russia and Trump, Russia and Trump. Let me tell you, it's Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, AOC. That's what they need to be blaming for everything.
They don't seem to be as concerned with China and the Wuhan lab and the treachery of that government.
Keep it quiet because they started that themselves. Again, mm-hmm. Fauci was involved in the Hunan lab. Obama was right there with him. They put up $4 million, I believe, to fund this thing to keep going. You tell me what's behind it. Why are you sitting there studying a virus or making a virus?
Mm-hmm.
These people are all corrupt. They're all crooked. They're out to destroy this country, and we need to destroy them.
Yeah. Wow. There's one other thing. We still have a couple of minutes I'm going to ask you about. Has to do with the virus. There is talk that the government wants to take away the patent right on the vaccines from these drug companies because this is such an important thing. You know, we need to have everybody able to create these vaccines, right? Not just these drug companies, which I think is so stupid, you know, because it's a disincentive to create these vaccines if you're all of a sudden going to pull away the patent rights. You are there if you come up with a new vaccine or whatever it is, you know, you're there to make a profit for your company. I don't know if you have a thought on that, but there is talk about that in the Biden administration.
It's simple. You just answer your own question. You lost your incentive to do something.
Exactly.
The minute you come out with it, somebody else is going to do it. What good is it?
Exactly right.
They're cut each other in doing it. That'd be stupid. But again, everything they do is stupid. Tell me one thing that they have done that isn't stupid and ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to ask the guy it's Thursday morning on that one. I'd like to give them a call, and I want to know what he's done that isn't stupid.
Yeah. Who was it that said Biden was wrong on virtually every political decision he ever made? I mean, that the guy was always on the wrong side. He's been consistently wrong.
I said that.
No, yeah, you did too, but I'm trying to think of who it was. I think it was somebody in the George Bush administration who said Biden is the one guy that has been so consistently on the wrong side of decisions. You know, he's just a natural dumb guy.
The only thing he's gotten better with age is stupidity.
Yes. His stupidity has matured.
Stupidity. He's done nothing for 47 years, but then again, look, all the politicians are the same ways, Paul.
Yeah.
Tell me what any one of them ever did in their life that was any good. Right out of college, they become politicians.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do nothing else, and they can't run the government right.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't argue with you, Andrew. You make too much sense, for goodness sakes. And it's always a delight to have you with us, and I am looking forward to talking with you again. I know we'll have some new things to talk about when we resume on Friday. So thanks so much, my friend.
Stop by the shop today, Paul.
All right, I will.
All right.
Buddy. I will do that. Thanks so much. All right.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. The master barber himself. Boy, he's always got opinions there, Ed. He's been waiting for the public to kind of take the voice and get on, you know, get out there and really, I don't know, rattle some chains. Do you think that may happen? Or?
I don't know. I mean, you know.
He thinks people are going to be fed up.
One of the things that, there was that thing that came out when the virus just hit, the photos of Obama and some of people's administration in that same Wuhan area years before. And you have to wonder.
Obama was involved, do you think?
I don't know. I wouldn't put it past him. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, so much has been, so much, and Paul, we've never seen stuff that's happened like it's happened now. With like Nancy Pelosi tearing up papers behind the president and stuff like that, and continuous just the constant, no, we're going to impeach him.
Can you imagine
that didn't
Mitch
work.
McConnell?
We'll impeach him again. You know?
Yeah. Can you imagine if Mitch McConnell stood up behind Obama and ripped up?
Oh, God.
Can you imagine how the press would have come down on him?
Yeah.
I mean, this is unbelievable. It's such a double standard. It really is. All right. Let us take our final break. Among other things, I want to talk to Ed a little bit about the hockey playoffs. They're actually starting this in a couple of days. And our top 10, the top 10 littlest presidents. 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of
love potion number 9. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And by the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Freedom Works, that's us. But if you can't be with us live, Ed makes sure that you can listen to us anytime you'd like by putting us on podcast. You just have to go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and you can listen to us anytime. Click on the podcast button, and there you go, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, one thing I want to talk about, didn't highlight it, but I thought of the story and thought it might be of interest. Catholic schools are losing students right now at record rates, and a lot of Catholic schools are closing. There's a story in the Wall Street Journal about it. They say that the Catholic schools across the U.S. are struggling to keep open after the pandemic, leaving a lot of families unable to pay the tuition and the church without extra funds to cover the difference. Now, as you know, you don't get government money for Catholic schools. You know, the kids that go there, the parents provide the tuition and pay for the full thing. But at least 209 of the country's nearly 6,000 Catholic schools have closed over the past year. More closures are expected, and some schools are even going on that GoFundMe page to get money to stay open. That's kind of scary, you know. Nationwide, Catholic school enrollment down almost 7%, 6.4%. This is the largest decline since they started tracking these things in the 70s. Now, I would have thought that Catholic schools and private schools were increasing because of vouchers, you know? But apparently the Catholic schools are having a lot of trouble. It says urban dioceses have been hit the hardest. In L.A., Catholic Archdiocese there, enrollment down 12% at the start of the school year. New York, Archdiocese enrollment down 11%. So we want to keep those, I think those Catholic schools stay open. They usually, I got a Catholic school education, very, very happy that I did. And I don't know. It's negative news. Negative news. All right. Well, before we go into our top 10, I was going to talk a little bit with Ed about the upcoming hockey playoffs. Ed, I was watching the final game last night. I don't know if you had the pleasure or the non-pleasure of watching it. I think that the Lightning lost 4-0 to Florida.
Well,
I'm scared about Florida.
You didn't recognize a whole lot of names that were out there, if you noticed. It was the first time in history, in the NHL history, that the front line had three black individuals.
Really?
Yeah, players.
I did not know
that.
Yeah,
that was the first time.
Wow.
I think they were willing to give that game up, believe it or not.
Well, okay, I believe
to rest players. Now, the playoffs are not going to start till Saturday or Sunday. They're not sure what day now.
Oh.
So, they'll be in Florida. Last night for them winning in Florida last night, that the Florida Panthers will get the home field advantage. But then if you think about it, you know, not even half-empty stadiums, is it really an advantage anymore?
True. So are you saying that the Lightning will start off playing Florida?
Yes.
Okay, wow. I'm a little worried about that.
That's why I'm saying they may have. And here's the other thing. You can also give them a little false confidence in thinking, oh, we could go out and whip this Lightning team. No problem. And, you know, they didn't play any of their good people last night. And then you could possibly have Stedman and Kucherov coming back.
That'll be good.
I mean, you know, Stamkos.
Stamkos. And Kucherov. If those two come back, then I'm switching my money odds over to the Lightning.
I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't worry about it. I think the Lightning will be fine. I think this might be was it Rope-a-Dope or Dope-a-Rope? It's Rope-a-Dope, isn't it? I think that's
what it was. Rope-a-Dope.
Yeah, I think that's what they did last night.
Rope-a-Dope, okay. So it's not just Florida I'm worried about. I'm worried about Carolina. Carolina won the division.
Sure. But, you know, playoffs, hockey really amps up a lot, you know. Okay. And I think if we get those two players back, I'm really feeling good about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now they're going to get, they'll get today off. So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, possibly Saturday. So you can get anywhere from 4 to 5 days off.
So, but I'm wondering how, what percent Stamkos and Kucherov
we
will
don't know.
Be.
I mean, we don't know. He won't tell us.
That's the thing.
And you got to remember, like they did last year, they didn't tell us, and all of a sudden he's on the ice.
But Kucherov hasn't played one moment.
No.
If Kucherov was getting close to 100%, wouldn't he have been on the ice to get his legs in shape, et cetera, for the last couple of games?
I think
he would have been.
This is what Cooper did last year. He had a closed practice, no media, and that's how he snuck Stamkos out there and got him ready.
Okay. Well, you're an optimist. You're an optimist. I want to see him win.
Yeah, I do too, but...
You know? And then after that, they got to get it. Well, they haven't even played the other teams in the other divisions. They've not played one game with them. That'll be interesting. Right. And all of a sudden, they're in the playoffs.
Right.
You know? In a way, it'll be kind of fun.
And I'm hoping for at least the second round, I'm hoping the arenas are back to full. Well, let's just get it over with.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
You know, and not kind of like, you know, listen, if you want to go to the game, you should get make sure you're vaccinated. And then nobody's got anything to worry about.
Yeah? You think everybody should be vaccinated?
No, I'm not saying they should.
Well, that would be an incentive
saying,
for sports fans to get a vaccine
shot. Well, other states are using alcohol. You know, come get your vaccine, get a free
and
pint
get
of
drunk.
Beer. Yeah. They are. I forget which state it was, free pint of beer.
Oh, my God.
Get really? Vaccinated, free pint of beer.
Okay, all right. Okay.
So that's called a beer and a shot.
Yes, it is. No, it's a shot first and then the beer. Well, maybe you take the beer first. That's a good point. All right. All right, my friend. It is time for our top 10, and we've been doing presidents recently. We've given you the heaviest presidents and the lightest presidents and the tallest presidents. Why not the shortest presidents? Why not the shortest presidents? So that's what we're going to do today. This information, you can get it on Wikipedia. That's where I got it. It's real easy to get. But let's find out if Ed knows who the shortest president was. I'm going to give him a hint when we get there, but I won't give him a hint right now. So here we go. Top 10 shortest presidents. Number 10 was William Henry Harrison. By the way, the lightest and the shortest presidents kind of...
Yeah, that would go together. The guy who was only 100 pounds?
Yeah, this guy was close to 140 pounds or 160 pounds. I don't have it with me anymore. But Harrison was 5 feet 8 inches tall. 5 feet 8. That to me is not... Considering he was the ninth president back then. Anyway, number 9. James Polk. You remember James Polk? I don't remember James Polk. Nobody remembers James Polk. He was the 11th president, and he was 5 feet 8 inches tall as well. Number 8. We got a bunch of 5'8ers here, Ed.
Okay.
Zachary Taylor. They all came around the same time, too. He was the 12th president of the United States. We used to call him Zach in kindergarten. And he was 5 foot 8 inches tall as well. Number 7. Ulysses S. Grant. I should have said Ulysses S. Grant. Speaking about a shot and a beer, a shot in a war for him. He would take a couple of shots before the Civil War. Huh. He was a big drinker, you know. Maybe that kept him short, 5 foot eight. Number 6. John Quincy Adams. Number 6 is John Quincy Adams. He was our 6th president. He was the first son of a president that became a president. Mm. And he was 5 foot, 7.5 inches tall. Number 5, John Adams, his father, a little bit shorter, 5 foot 7. He was the 2nd president. Number 4, William McKinley. William McKinley was our 25th president. He was assassinated, by the way. And he was 5 foot, 7 inches tall. Number 3, Martin Van Buren. Martin Van Buren. He was our 8th president, and he was 5 foot 6 inches tall. All right. Number 2, Benjamin Harrison. Remember William Henry Harrison? This is Benjamin Harrison. I don't think there was any relation, but Ben was the 23rd president, 5 foot 6 inches tall as well. All right. We are down to number 1. Do you have any idea, Ed?
No.
Do you remember who was the lightest president?
No.
Do you remember who wrote the Constitution?
Yeah.
Who?
Let's see.
I won't put you on the spot. But Shorty wrote the Constitution. James Madison. Yes. James Madison was our shortest president. He was also our lightest president. He was 5'4" tall.
Man.
I wonder if he had a Napoleonic complex.
That's Dr. Fauci height.
Is Fauci short?
What do you think?
I don't know. He walks up
to the podium. He's got to put his hands up on the podium.
Does he wear high lifts in his shoes?
Know.
Maybe he should. You know, well, there
we gotta
is
go.
A...
We got to go.
I guess we do. Okay. Well, listen, thank you so much.
Did you already say it?
I already said it.
Okay.
To James Madison. I'm sorry.
There you go.
We're all mixed up. Anyway, we will be back on Friday. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for our little and young lady, Joy on Paper, hosted by Patsy with a Y.